Tenasmarantyatitaram priyami sharmatyam. Yechandvatasutasuritgrihavittadaraha. Yetvabjanaba bhavatiya padaravinda. Sauganjalupta hritayeshu krita prasangaha.
Sauganjalupta hritayeshu krita prasangaha.
Atitaram.
Atitaram.
Highly.
Highly.
Priyam.
Priyam.
Dear.
Dear.
Isha.
Isha.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Maratyam.
Maratyam.
Material body.
Yea,
they who
cha
also
anu
in relationship with
adaha
that
sutta
sons
surit
friends griha
home
vita
wealth
daraha
and wife.
Yea.
Those who.
To.
To.
Then.
Then.
Abjanaba.
Abjanaba.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Who have a lotus navel.
Who have a lotus navel.
Bhavadiya.
Bhavadiya.
Of your.
Of your.
Pada Aravinda.
Pada Aravinda.
Lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Sogandhya.
Sogandhya.
The fragrance,
lupta,
have achieved,
vidayeshu,
with devotees,
whose hearts,
kritta prasangaha, O Lord, who have a lotus navel. If a person happens to associate with a devotee whose purport. A special advantage in devotional service is that devotees not only enjoy the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing and chanting and glorifying them, but also are not very much attached to their bodies. Unlike the yogis, who are too attached to the body and who think that by performing bodily gymnastic exercises, they will advance in spiritual consciousness. Yogis are generally not very much interested in devotional service. They want to regulate the breathing process. This is simply a bodily concern. Here, Dhruva Maharaj plainly says that a devotee has no more bodily interest. He knows that he is not the body. From the very beginning, therefore, without spending time in bodily exercises, a devotee searches out a pure devotee and simply by his association becomes more advanced in spiritual consciousness than any yogi. Because a devotee knows that he is not the body, he is never affected by bodily happiness or distress. He is not interested in bodily relationships with wife, children, home, bank balance, etc., or in the distress and happiness which comes from these things. This is the special advantage of being a devotee. This status of life is possible only when a person is interested in associating with a pure devotee who always enjoys the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Agyana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakchur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pamulam Hayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. A special advantage of being attached to the Lord is that one is not very much attached to one's body. And Prabhupada then compares the yogi and the devotee. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana swaravan bhajateyo mamsa meyuktatamo mataha. Krishna says, my opinion is in antaratmana svaravan bhajate yo mam. Antaratmana thinks of me within the heart. Right? Always thinking of Krishna. He's the best yogi. Of course, we have to be careful with this mood of detachment. Say, if Madhavi now decides that she's fully attached to Krishna and she can be detached from her son. But I'm detached. I'm surrendered to Krishna. And I'm not attached to any of my bodily relations anymore. Huh? What do you reckon? Good idea or not? Bad idea, good idea. Right, so what are we going to do here? What are we going to do? How do we apply this appropriately, properly? Because, you know, Prabhupada was never very impressed by a false renunciation. Right. And there were occasions where devotees said, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas, give up, you know. And then they make a show of renunciation. And then a few years later, after taking sannyas, they get married again. Right? So how do we practically apply this kind? And yet we see in the Bhagavatam very striking examples. Thinking of Ritrasura, for example, even Bali Maharaj, Marichi. Is it Marichi? I think it's Marichi. He gives his bones. No, Dadichi. Yeah, Dadichi. He gives his bones to the demigods so that they can fashion a weapon with which to kill Ritrasura. For the benefit of everybody. He's not attached to his body, and he gives his, you know, if you give your bones, what does that mean? Yeah, you die. I was walking out the front gate on Sunday night. Sometime on the weekend, and a boy was saying to his mum, "Some people can see my bones." So what's he on about? She says, "I don't know, Prabhu, I just ignore him sometimes." All right, okay then. And then he said, so I realised that I can understand her position. There's appropriate detachment from one's child. Right? You still got to keep an eye on him. So this deep attachment for Krishna gives automatic detachment from material association. Right? But that doesn't mean then we're callous to others' needs. Right? A devotee selfishness that a devotee epitomizes or embodies, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we should be callous or deal harshly or be dismissive or denigrating point of view. So the qualities of a devotee are wonderful. A special advantage. There are special advantages that come as a result of being a devotee absorbed. What? Here. A devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet. So this is quite an elevated platform of bhakti. Right? It's bhava or prema bhakti that the devotee, because here the mind is never, it doesn't think of anything else but Krishna, or doesn't see anything in relationship with Krishna. Ananyas chintayanto, what is it? Ananyas? Chintayanto mam. Yeah, chintayanto means mind always concentrated. Ananya. Anya means end. Ananya means no end. Ananya chintayanto mam. Yatantascha tridha brataha. So they're engaged in devotional service, always thinking of Krishna with a firm vow, dridha brata. Right? Brata means a vow. Dridha means with determination. Dritta. Sounds like determination. Dridha means fixed, yeah, fixed. Dridha brata. This natural form of detachment comes. Well, there's an example in the Bhagavatam how if you eat a meal. Then automatically your hunger is satisfied, right? Your desire to taste, let's assume that it's properly cooked, right? Your desire to taste nice things is satisfied. Right? And you become nourished. You become nourished, you become strong from eating a good meal. Which is important for devotees. You know, Prabhupada says we should be, in a previous verse we were discussing the other day, one should be sensually strong as a devotee. You know, we say, oh, I'm attached to Krishna and I don't eat anything. Unless you're Raghunath Das, you know, a very elevated devotee, you need to eat regularly. So, similarly, when we're engaged in our bhajan, our practice, at least we're practicing devotees, generally speaking, we're practicing, and we perform our bhajan, then we'll, our desires will be satisfied in service to Krishna. We'll taste the sweetness of devotional service. And what is it? What's the Sanskrit? Chuda. There's virakti. Bhakti parishana bhavo virakti. No, what is that? Bhakti parishana bhava. What's it? Virakti. Yeah. So our devotion will grow. Our satisfaction in bhakti will naturally, the process of bhakti nourishes our detachment, because by being engaged in the hearing and chanting process, we become satisfied. Just like we'll be satisfied by the engagement in bhakti, in devotional practice. We'll be happy. And our faith will become strong. And then automatically, as a result of that satisfaction and the strength that comes from increased faith, we'll become automatically detached from material attachment. And when a devotee shows attachment to these things, just like, you know, we can't not show affection to our children. Right? You can't not show affection to children. Well, you can get annoyed with them, though. That's also a form of affection. Right? Even in our relationship with... So, you know, when we see these things in relationship to Krishna, when our bhakti is strong, and so we see everything then in relationship to Krishna, right? This is the idea. Then we can use those things and have a relationship with those things, because we see everything in their proper relationship with, can be detached from sutta, sons, right? But when we understand that the son is Krishna's servant, then we look after them. We just don't go, I'm going to take sannyas and walk away from my family. I'm detached now. But a greater form of detachment is to see that that's not my son. This is Krishna's servant. And, you know, the mood of a devotee is to render service to the devotees. Sons, friends, right? Friends. Yes, we give up the so-called material concept of friendship and we take on the spiritual concept of making friends only with the devotees, and especially the pure devotees who are here. They're described. It's described here. Ye klab janaba bhavadiya padara vinda. Right? So gandhya lubdha. Those who have obtained, right? Lubdha, or sometimes labha, right? Lubdha, have achieved. Hridayeshu krita prasangaha. So, and here's the point. Here's the main point. The devotees have achieved the fragrance of the lotus feet of Abjanabha. Right? Abjanabha means, O Lord who has a lotus navel. Right? Actually, there's two things. There's two achievements here. There's the devotee who's attached to Krishna. Right? And that's that pure devotee. But then it says here, for those devotees who have achieved the association of those devotees, right? Then one can become detached from material things. So we make friends, association, one then makes progress. So we give up, just like, I remember when I first started associating with the devotees, my friends all thought that I was crazy. Huh? Especially when I started to give away some of my possessions. They were quite enthusiastic about that. But they still thought I was crazy. But then I realized, if I want to make advancement as a devotee, then I have to give up these crazy people. Huh? And one of the reasons why Chinchiripa and I left Adelaide to come to Melbourne was to give up the crazy people. Although I have discovered that living in a Hare Krishna temple sometimes there are still crazy people around the place. Not the devotees, of course. And you know why? I'll tell you why. It's because the devotees are non-judgmental. Right? They treat everybody equally. And so, you know, people who are mentally and emotionally disturbed, they value that. You know, they're rejected by the rest of society because they're, you know, their social skills are somewhat lacking, and then we have to tolerate it. We feed people. We Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. We're welcoming and open to everyone, right? And so there, that's a priest, and that's a priest. You know, many people come. Why do people come here? I mean, they could go anywhere else, but why do they come here? And what do they say? They say, "Oh, really? There's a level of peace and tranquility that they achieve. There's happiness. You get happiness when you come into this area here." Huh? And like Yana said the other day, why people sometimes get upset with us, because we're happy. And he told me this story. He told me the story of how he was at this dinner, and one of the neighbours was complaining about all the noise that we make. No, the rubbish, the dump truck going up and down the street, right? And And Garner said to him, well, you know, how long have you been here? And he said, you know, 3 years or something. He said, well, we've been here for 40 years. Right? You bought into our neighbourhood and we've been here for 40 years, so we came first. Right? So he said, oh, okay. So, but there was another lady who said, you know, I came into Melbourne, she came from Sydney or somewhere, and she says, I was in a foul mood. I was just angry at everybody and scowling at everybody. But then I saw the Hare Krishnas and they made me smile. Even though I didn't want to smile, they made me smile, right? So this is, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're... Samoham Savabhuteshu, right? Ideally, we should be. Although we do, you know, we can recognize a demon when we see one. We should do, as a Majjhimadikari, right? But this is important, that the unique advantage of being a devotee is to be detached from material, you know, from a material perspective of things, right? So, you know, we don't abruptly, prematurely show signs of renunciation that might disturb others, right? And you know, we don't renounce our friends unless they're not devotees. Right, and we don't give up our children, thinking, "Oh, what a, I mean, looking after kids, is that a burden?" Sometimes, she won't say. It is a burden. We know it's a burden. You have to sacrifice everything for your children. Right? Is that right? No. See, they're so great devotees. They only have affection for their devotee children. Okay, so, and even Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, I would, you know, if I could make what do you say? I have hundreds of children. If I can make them a devotee, which kind of, you know, if he decides to renounce family life, and how hard is it to make a devotee? And even Prabhupada tells the story of how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was weeping when one of his sannyas disciples was captured by his wife. Pulled out. Griha, vitta, daraha, right? So, detachment from home. Then people think like that, devotees think like that. Oh, money, management, oh, material activities, right? But not. We were discussing yesterday with Parambrahma and Gopi Vrindesh about how we sell books, right? Prabhupada's conception was that we could maintain the society by book distribution, right? Which means when you sell a book, what do you have to do? What's important about selling a book?
Get the cash.
Get the cash, yeah. Get the cash, right? And how much cash?
Big notes.
Big notes. Big notes, right? So, you know, you can say, ah, oh, you materialist, you're just interested in money. Right? Right? You're a good book distributor, right? Nam Chintamani is a good book distributor. What do you go, when you get the money, well, how much money are you looking for? How much money?
$10
for a Bhagavad Gita, he knows. Now, why $10 for a Bhagavad Gita?
Huh? Because it costs $5.
Yeah, because it costs $5. When there was a devotee who cared about his friend, Sridhar Maharaj. And he told Prabhupada, I distributed 100 back to Godheads. And Prabhupada said, that's good. And then he asked him, how much money did you collect? And he said, I gave them away for free. And Prabhupada said, that's not very intelligent, is it? Right? So, you know, Prabhupada was concerned about... His vision was that we could maintain the society by book distribution. So if we gave away our books, how are we going to maintain the society? That means we have to sell the books and not just get, you know, the cost of printing. You've got to make a profit. Right? And Prabhupada was concerned about making profits. Does that mean he was attached to money? Not from the materialistic point of view, he wasn't. Vitta, wealth, right? Prabhupada was concerned about the business affairs of ISKCON. Huh? He was concerned about making money. He used to keep a note of all the money, you know, even if it was a few paisa. Prabhupada would keep accurate accounting records of what came in and what went out and what it was for, how it came in. Does that mean... And Prabhupada was particular about that, meticulous in his bookkeeping. So he was keeping track of all the money. Does that mean he was interested in money? Yes, he was interested in money. Right? But he was detached from it because he was doing it for Krishna. Like the bank, Prabhupada gives the example, the bank teller counts money. He's not thinking when the money comes in, oh, great, I got more money. And then when it goes out, oh, no, money's going out. Right? He knows that the money, ultimately the money belongs to the customer. And the bank is just a custodian for the customer, looking after the customer's money. Of course, we're discovering at the moment in the Royal Commission that the banks are actually taking the customer's money for themselves, right? And not giving them anything in return. Isn't it crazy? The banks are charging the customers fees for services that they don't provide. Services that they obviously didn't provide because the person wasn't alive. Right? And NAB, yes, we've caught you. Right? We'll take what is needed. You know, from the detached point of view, devotee accepts what is necessary and doesn't pursue more than is required. That's the balance that we try to... Because whether they're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, right? The needs, our needs are going to be different. But when we see it as Krishna, using it in Krishna's service, it's appropriate. And some will be given more than others, right? Like Ambarish Prabhu was born in a very wealthy family. But he still uses that wealth. He doesn't just give it up and give it away, right? But he uses it. Prabhupada encouraged him, showed him actually how to... When Prabhupada went to negotiate the purchase of the Fisher Mansion in Detroit, he had no money. Right? And he negotiated, they wanted 500,000, Prabhupada negotiated 330,000 or something purchase. Right? Didn't have any money, but then he went to Lakshmavanti and Ambarish and asked them for a donation, and they gave him the money to purchase the building. In the morning he went in with no money and negotiated ownership, but it was done from the sense of I'm a custodian of Krishna's property. A yogi, and this more or less the yogis kind of do this. You see the Nagababas, you know, they walk around with no clothes on and just have that rope and thing, you know, the copings, right? Showing a sign of detachment. But A devotee can have great wealth and still be detached from it. Have facility and everything, right? But still show the principle of renunciation. Because real renunciation means seeing who it ultimately belongs to. And that's why the association of devotees is so important, which is what's really being recommended here. Because that mood of renunciation is real renunciation, right? It's not some just give up everything, don't eat, don't attractive for some. But more attractive is the association of the devotees who know how to use everything in Krishna's service and connect everything with Krishna. And so and that's the kind of association that we want to have. That mood of engaging everything in Krishna's service. How about here? He is not interested in bodily relationships with wife, children, home, bank balance, etc. So in relationship to this false idea of who I am. But in relationship to Krishna, okay, we'll use it. And that's natural. You know, one of my greatest pleasures is to see the temple filled up with devotees on a feast day like Lord Nrisimha Day's appearance day, and just to see how happy everybody is. Right? You see how happy everyone is. And how much everybody's enjoying that opportunity to worship and glorify Krishna, and the satisfaction and pleasure that comes to the devotees from those activities is inspiring. So we can't renounce our devotee family, right? That's heartbreaking, really. To be away from the devotees, to be out. Prabhupada says that, and he's quoting others, Narottam Das and others, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, you know, and Lord Chaitanya, the greatest separation that we can experience is the separation of the devotees. Right? That's the greatest. Because without the devotees, where would we be? Right? Without Prabhupada, where would we be? And without Prabhupada and his representatives, where would we be? So this attachment to the devotees, and especially to a devotee who's not attached, who's purely attached to serving Krishna, and is detached from the bodily perspective, but who shows great attachment to the devotees. That's the kind of devotee that we want to be, and the kind of devotee that we want to associate with. Because by that association, we learn how to actually be detached from that material perspective, and learn how to see everything from the spiritual perspective. And so money and friends, part of Krishna's family and part of the devotional family that one engages and interacts with in that understanding of that everything belongs to Krishna. What is it? Ishvasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena chaktena bunjita magrida kasvasvidyanam, right? Everything in the creation ultimately belongs to the Isha. Right? That word's here, isn't it? Is it? Isha. Yeah, here, Isha. Yeah. O Lord. Gives us a quota. Right, so we have to keep this in mind. Body, is it? That, and that's why we put the deal to him. So, that's real detachment. That we're given a certain facility to look after for Krishna's purposes. That's real detachment. And accepting what he's given us as our responsibility. So, you know, our children, husband, wife, bank account, whatever. And looking after money is not material in that context. And management is not material. Prabhupada put so much effort into managing this society. So that means, oh, Prabhupada's just a materialist in the management. Hardly. Right? Cleaning the courtyard. Ooh, I'm renounced from that. Huh? Material activity. Well, wrong. No. The simple. Ambarish Maharaj. Karo Harir Mandira Majanadi Shu. What did Ambarish Maharaj, the king of the universe, what did he do when he went to the temple? Marajanadi Shu. In the beginning, he cleaned it. First thing he did, clean. So cleaning is super important. Not a material activity. The queens of Dwarka, the queens of Vaikuntha are cleaning. Even the place is not dirty. That's pretty far out. So we shouldn't look down on cleaning as a service. It is actually one of the highest. This is the beginning. And of course, cleaning the heart also. Chanting Hare Krishna. That's cleaning. All sorts of things pop up. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? Yikes. So many material notions. Huh? Material ideas, but we clean them up by chanting Hare Krishna. So we want to be with those devotees. The pure of heart. And we want to be one of those devotees. Pure of heart. So we associate. Sangat sanjayate kama. As we, whoever we associate with, that's what we'll become like. Right? So we want to be with the devotees. We don't renounce the association of devotees. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Mahatmaji.
One comment to Mahatmaji.
Okay. I'm counting.
You were saying, Ananya Shintyanto Maam Yidana Purpaste Teshan Yukta Naam Yo Kremo Maam.
That's a good verse. Yeah.
Whatever you have got, I'll take care.
Yeah.
And what we don't have, I'll give you.
Mm.
So we have got a feeling.
Yep.
As you said, we are completely absorbed in Krishna.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it. Now my question is, everybody says
good point. Good point.
Chant it, Lord. But how to get the ruchi, naam ruchi? If you can tell us a few things.
How to get a taste from chanting Hare Krishna? Constant practice. Determination. Theistic conduct. It's mentioned by Lord Brahma at the end of the Brahma Samhita. So, for us, regular chanting, so we do it regularly, and theistic conduct, especially avoiding offences. This is why we chant the 10 offences in the morning, right? And so avoiding offences, and then Trinadapi Sunichena. It's all contained in the Sikshastika, right? Trinadapi Sunichena Torore Lasa Hishnuna Amanana. Yeah, humble. And not desiring being honored.
Name and fame.
Yeah, this is a big an envy of others. Prabhupada explained to the devotees in San Francisco. When Prabhupada went to India after his stroke, he came back and he spent some time in San Francisco. But then the devotees opened a center in LA, and he shifted to LA. And around about that time, Prabhupada brought Govinda Dasi and Shyam Gaurasundara. Gaurasundara, I think it was, and Govinda Dasi. And the devotees from San Francisco, the West Coast devotees, were upset because they were looking forward to looking after Prabhupada, but Prabhupada brought these two devotees from the East Coast. And so they got upset and they asked Prabhupada, why can't we look after you? And then Prabhupada told them about envy.
Right. And Nirmatsara
means not envious. Yeah, matsara. And so what can happen is a devotee seeks adoration, and it comes. You know, people will say to you, "Oh, you're a good guy. You're a good devotee." They'll give you money. They'll praise you, right? And that's, you know, when you've got people telling you what a good fellow you are, that's kind of nice, right? Just like everybody wants to be a pop star, right? I don't know. You probably haven't heard of Men at Work, as an example that I can think of. Men at Work, the lead, the chief songwriter and the singer for Men at Work was Colin Hay, and Colin Hay were very popular. He said he would be playing to crowds of 100,000 people, right? 100,000 people. And same with the Beatles. You know, but they got sick of it. You know, having thousands of people screaming at you and chasing you around all of the time, it just became crazy, right? But it's desirable when people say you're a good... And then Colin Hay was saying how... there's an interview that he did with Andrew Denton. And he's saying how we got the record of filling up the Mildura pub with the most number of people, right? And then he went back a few years later when he wasn't popular, when the band wasn't popular anymore, and there was just a few people. Just a few people. He said it was a bit depressing. Huh? So it's desirable. We want to be praised. We want to be a pop star. And then as a devotee, people will tell you, oh, you give a nice class. You know, you... Blah, 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 blah. So it's like, okay, that's nice. But we can't be attached to that, because one day they'll be telling you what a great guy that you are. Then the next day they'll be sending you an email telling you how out of it you are. And I'm speaking from personal experience. And that's not funny. That's not funny. That can be extremely painful. Extremely painful. Right? You got to go through that. So what can happen is, when others are receiving glorification and are becoming prominent, then we can become envious of that. Right? Because somebody else has a prominent position, and then and Prabhupada defines envy as you wanting something that somebody else has got and they can't have it. In other words, you want to take it from them. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, we have to be able to, you know, will be glorified on some occasions for the good things that we do. And we should let others also be, you know, there's plenty to go around. It's not that we should be envious of others. You can't have that because I'm more qualified. This is what it boils down to. It's pride. So Lord Chaitanya, and Prabhupada saw this within it. He saw this and he warned the devotees, this will damage ISKCON. Actually, it damages any family or any community or any society when there's a competition for position and a pulling down.
Others.
Huh?
Pulling others.
What was that?
Pulling others.
Yeah, it's being envious of others, right? So we need to... not wanting respect for ourselves and becoming envious of others. These are offences. This is committing offences. So, trinada pisunichayana turu, whatever. So, being more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, right? Not wanting recognition, but giving recognition to others, appreciating others, and giving them support and encouragement. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Right, this is how we can keep chanting. And if we keep chanting, then because now Rupa Goswami says our tongue is afflicted with avidya, or our consciousness is afflicted with avidya, ignorance. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful that it can destroy any ignorance, right? Like the sun, it can illuminate any dark place. But if we hang on to these elements of darkness, right? This is the offense. This is why clearing the offenses and removing material desires. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and so in our chanting we have to be, and this is why chanting is best done in a quiet place, or at least in a place where there's no disturbance or distraction. And that's why, sitting together in Prabhupada's room or even here with the devotees and chanting is not a distracting environment, because everybody's doing the same thing and it's supportive. Whereas, chanting around in Swanson Street, right, maybe not the best place to chant Hare Krishna. Although you could do it. Right? A devotee can do it, but it's not the place that we choose to chant. Because we need to be very introspective. Because what happens when we chant? Up comes the desires. Material attachments come up. And we have to... And in listening to the sound of the mantra, we're concentrating on our prayer to Krishna. Please just engage me in your service. Free from, desire to be the top swan. Right? In the material world, it's the top dog. But in the spiritual world, it's the top swan. But, it could be a swan eats swan world, so you've got to be careful also. So, chanting Hare Krishna, if we want... Now, we're not chanting just to be blissful. We're chanting to be Krishna's servant. But being Krishna's servant is blissful. We're not chanting for the bliss. Because, we all know it. The bliss is also in the difficulty. Right? We want bliss and we don't want problems. But the highest bliss is actually is sometimes in doing the tough things for Krishna, right? If you want to show affection for your friends, right, you go out of your way to please them, even if there's some difficulty, and that gives us the highest pleasure. So for Krishna's the greatest; he's the best, right? And when we put ourselves out for him, then he gives himself to us. But if we don't want difficulty, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want spiritual life. Right? None of this hassle. That's not spiritual life. But we need to learn to embrace the difficulties in spiritual life, because that's how you make advancement. And as I mentioned the other day, in the Shrinker Day's Appearance Day, you become qualified by passing the tests. Isn't it? If you want a degree, if you want a degree from a prestigious university, they don't just hand them out as you walk in the gate. Oh, here you go. No worries. They test you. And why do they test you? They test you to ensure that you're qualified. So, you know, they tell you, here's the reading list, here's the assignments, here's the exams. And they know that by putting you through that process, you come out at the end qualified, and then they give you a degree. Right? So Krishna also, we say to Krishna, I want to be your devotee. And so Krishna says, okay, come on. But I'm going to test you in order to make you the most qualified devotee. We say, oh, hang on a second, I'm not sure I want to be. That. We're being tested all of the time. Right? But why is Krishna doing that? Because he doesn't like us? What's going on here, Krishna? Why so much trouble? Well, we should understand the trouble is for our benefit. We think, why all the trouble? I'm already your devotee. Huh? How come you're not giving me Krishna prema? Huh? What's going on here? Krishna, you said that you would give me Krishna prema. And I'm your best devotee, so come on, what's going on? But actually, we're not the best devotee. And so we're going to be, you know, what are they? What's the Christian aphorism? Pride comes before a fall. So if we're stumbling all of the time, what does that mean? What does that mean?
We're proud.
Very proud, yeah. We're proud. Well, I'm not you, I'm speaking for myself. Very proud. So I think, yep, I can do this. And then Krishna goes, boom, down I go. And then Krishna, what's going on here? So in the chanting, we have to be very introspective, deeply introspective, and have to question again and again and again, why am I doing this? 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 What am I trying to, what am I hoping to achieve out of this? And it's when we're at the point where we're crying to Krishna, Krishna, please help me. I'm your most fallen devotee. Yeah, then you're successful. Right? Because that's the mood of a devotee. Not, I'm the best devotee. You guys are all here to serve me. We're here to serve Krishna. And we serve Krishna through the devotees. Then they ask us to do something. We go, oh, do I have to? Is there another way? Can't you make it easier? Right? So that's and valuing the association of the devotees, because sometimes you get to the point where you think, well, these guys, they give me so much trouble. Huh? I think I'm going to go away from the devotees because they just give me a hard time. Huh? Whereas we're you know, that's not going to work, obviously. That's not going to work. So, okay, if it's tough in one place, you can try another. But don't expect that, you know, Prabhupada says, wherever you go, your forehead's going to get there first. Right? So, you know, whatever anattas we carry with us, they're going to go to another place. So we've got to settle down somewhere. Okay, there may be some places that are not good. We have to also go through the you know, challenging ourselves to be pure. And that can be a bit of a challenge when we're obviously not. Huh? And I'm speaking rather theoretically here because I don't get it right every day either. But I was thinking last night, I was reading Vyasadeva. Now, how in terms of ranking of devotees and just personalities, how high up there is Vyasadeva, you reckon? What do you reckon? Vyasadeva, pretty up there? Right? So, he had a son. Who was his son's name? Sukadeva. Right. When Sukadeva left home, what did Vyasadeva do? Huh? What did he do? Huh? Yeah, and what was it, and what was his mood? Huh? We have been giving you Brahman initiation. He's feeling anxiety, yet he's an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. Huh? Or even, you know, of here's a good one. Sivananda Sen was looking after the devotees, but he did. I'm gonna put a complaint in about you. He said, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't make the proper arrangements for you. Please forgive me. Or like when Lord Vishnu was kicked in the chest by Bhrigu Muni, he said, I hope I didn't hurt your foot. And even Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma is our, Adi Guru. But he gets in Maya sometimes, right? So we shouldn't try to be the penitent. There'll be moments of distress, but we tolerate that. And you know, our progress in devotional service is a continuum. It's a process, not necessarily an arrival. You know what I mean? It's what we do as devotees, and there'll be ups and there'll be downs, and it's that you tolerate because that's just the nature of existence. Even in the spiritual world, there's ups and downs. So, but the ecstasy comes, right? You know, the ananda comes from just doing it. Right? That's where the ananda comes from. Sticking to the process and trying to be humble. Success. Success is a very interesting phenomenon. We're successful, right? In one sense, the Hare Krishna temple in Melbourne is successful. But ever guess what's happening now? The neighbours are all complaining. And they want to shut us down, which they've done in the past. Right? It's happened in the past. So, I was thinking, oh, no, not another fight with the blinking neighbours. Right? Last thing I need. But when thousands of devotees come here and fill the place up and the kids are all screaming and, when you, these guys, bless their souls, all running around the place screaming their heads off. No wonder the neighbours are, the neighbours are upset. So it's success is we keep trying to improve, Huh?
Association with the devotees.
Keep the association of you kind of get looked after, right? And I got to lead the Kirtan, the Guru, for the sacred sound retreat, I got to lead Guru Puja. And and then the devotees all said, oh, Aniruddha Prabhu, that Kirtan was really good. So I'm sort of going, oh, okay. And that, they're appreciating me. this is tricky stuff. But then they asked a devotee who's junior to me to give the Bhagavatam class on one day. And I'm thinking, oh, how come they didn't ask me to give the Bhagavatam class? Right. And also, Juna Maharaj was there and he and I are friends, but he's spending more time with other people. I'm thinking, oh, how come I'm missing out on all the association, I'm an important devotee. And I've been recognised. Company. There's lots of devotees like that. And I'm feeling bad, like you're missing out. That's actually, even though it may be bitter in the beginning, in the end, it's very sweet. That you're not, everybody's not telling you what a great guy you are. Because what happens is, when everybody's telling you what a great guy you are, you get fooled by it. And you start believing what people say. And that's dangerous, because you get puffed up. We don't want to be puffed up. So if there's so many problems that we're feeling bad all the time, that's actually quite good. It's not bad, it's actually a benefit. So, because, you've got to be sober, you have to sit tightly, meditate on what the actual problems are, work out how to do something positive for the benefit of everybody. Right? That's the definition of self-realization. What is it in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita? Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. Right, this is what we're pursuing, right, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And so if we're having to face that in a very sober way, and it's not always, it's a great big party, we're having fun, right? But then you're leaving a trail of, destruction behind you, disturbance and destruction behind you, and unaware of it. It's not bad to be in a position where you've got to be sober and serious about what you're doing. Or if you're not getting the attention that you think you deserve, Now, the interesting thing is then, in that environment, Krishna will reciprocate with you in very wonderful ways. With deep realizations that you wouldn't have got otherwise, right? From that position of humility, ultimately. Because humility is the emblem of knowledge, right? And so if we're facing the reality of material existence and the difficulties and the struggles, especially as a devotee, that's actually where the deep realizations come from. Where your ananda comes from. Yeah, no pain, no gain. And so when we're feeling blue, down and blue sometimes, right? What's that? There's that song. Dhruva Maharaj, repentance. We saw that in that verse the other day, right? This is a quality of a devotee, actually. That's a wonderful position to be in. But we're looking for the ananda. We want the ananda first. Hey, give me the ananda. Be prepared to pay the price of giving up. And basically what it is giving up my material attachments. Okay. Grantarajimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhagavatam.